This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And for our next story, so the Malaysian Immigration Department proceeded with the deportation of 1,086 Myanmar nationals yesterday, hours after the KL High Court had issued an order for a temporary stay against the deportation. And I think that this was the source of a lot of consternation and confusion yesterday, because nobody really knew what was going on until the evening when it was announced.
Yes, so just to take you through some of that, the sequence of events that happened on Monday, Amnesty International and Asylum Access Malaysia jointly filed for a judicial review to stop the deportation of these 1,200 Myanmar citizens, because deporting them currently to Myanmar, where the military junta has taken over, could be endangering their lives. Now, the NGOs did add also, there were individuals in this group that included people who were asylum seekers who were registered, minors who still have parents here in Malaysia, and basically that deporting people who were UNHCR cardholders would breach principles of non-refoulement. And this also violates separating children from parents, also violates the Convention of the Rights of the Child. So there had been a temporary stay of this order of deportation on that day, but it happened anyway, which was the source of all this confusion.
Yes. So just to say that this is what we know happened today. This morning, the KL High Court heard the lawsuit and the judge issued an extension of the stay order, which halted, therefore, the deportation of the remaining 114 people. The court will decide on March the 9th whether to allow NGOs to challenge yesterday's deportation. And honestly, this, when we covered this on Friday, we spoke about all the reasons for why something like this is in many ways unconscionable, right? And I think now that it has happened anyway, what we need to explore is what led up to that, right? What are the factors that lead to something like this going on, despite there being a stay issued, and what this might mean for the remaining 114 people still in Malaysia?
What it might mean for them, yes. And what in this process broke down? Who is to be accountable for the fact that this happened anyway, when obviously most of us would think of the court as being a source of being able to mitigate these circumstances?
So joining us now to talk about this is Katrina Jorin Maliamau, who is the Executive Director of Amnesty International Malaysia. Katrina, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for having me on.
So, do we know why the Immigration Department proceeded with the deportation despite the court order against doing so?
Yes. I just want to just clarify also something. Just yesterday, what we did on Monday, we filed an action in the KL High Court to prevent the deportation, right? So we hadn't filed it for a judicial review yet.
Right.
And then in the afternoon, so the government, the respondents, the Immigration Department, they were informed on Monday that this was filed. They were informed also that the judge had fixed for a hearing on Tuesday afternoon at 12 p.m. And then the judge granted an interim stay order to halt the deportation, meaning the 1,200 people cannot be deported. But then in the evening, I mean, so we were, you know, we were really, you know, excited and pleased and just relieved, because it was a lifeline, a temporary lifeline, but a lifeline nonetheless. But then to find out in the evening that they went ahead and deported despite the court order, it was just, it's absolutely shocking, just completely shocking, because as you rightly point out, you know, it's a court order was issued and yet they defied the court order. What we are seeking, and what I think more importantly also the public deserves to know, is why. Why did the government, why did the Immigration Department proceed with the deportation anyway? You know, we've been kept in the dark. You know, no explanation has been forthcoming thus far. And I think it's really imperative that the government steps up and answers these questions.
Katrina, what do we know about the identity of the people who were on board these ships?
So, you know, as this process has been going on, we've been receiving reports of refugees and asylum seekers, including children and UN document holders, UNHCR document holders, who were at very high risk of being deported, right? Which is why we took this action. Now, it is the government who needs to be clear as to who is on board. This is why we are asking for them to reveal sort of the identity and the status, most importantly, of the individuals on board. You know, UNHCR has not been given access, were not given access to the 1,200 people. And therefore, I really don't know how the government is able to say that there are no asylum seekers or refugees, when it is the UN really who's able to process the asylum claims. And so, again, you know, calling on the Malaysian government to tell us, you know, explain who was deported, who was left behind, and why.
And could you give us a sense of what might be awaiting the deportees, the people who are, in fact, on board those ships?
Yeah, so, you know, this is exactly why it's so urgent, because we know that the military coup happened on the 1st of February. But, you know, before then and also ongoing now, the human rights condition is really rapidly deteriorating in Myanmar. You know, we are maybe more familiar in Malaysia about the conflict that are affecting the Rohingya, and that certainly is incredibly grave. But what maybe Malaysians are less familiar with is the conflict affecting other ethnic minorities. You know, for example, the Kachin, the Shan, the Mon, the Karen, the Chin. There are also, you know, prior to the coup, even there were over tens of thousands of people who had been internally displaced. But also incredibly concerned about, you know, anyone who may not have had an asylum claim before. So migrants, for example, who may have expressed, you know, views critical of the Myanmar government. Will there be repercussions on them when they arrive in Myanmar? Will they be arrested for speaking up critically in the government? So I think, again, you know, what we're saying is that given the condition in Myanmar, why did the government go ahead and deport people who may be at risk, especially people who may have an asylum claim?
Now, of the 1,200 individuals that were initially planned for deportation, this round of deportations included 1,086. What will happen to the remaining 114 people?
That is exactly what we want to know. Because the government has not said anything about the 114 people, it is really hard to know what awaits their fate. I think this is why, you know, we've been reiterating over and over again that it is so urgent that the government grant UNHCR immediate access to the 114 or however number of individuals were left behind, and also to all the detention centres, right? So that is our priority and really our concern for the people who are left behind and for the people en route to Myanmar.
So let's talk a little bit more about the judicial review. I mean, what's next in this area?
Right. So on the 9th of March, the High Court will make a decision on the leave application, right? So in layperson's terms, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to explain this as simply as I can, that we need to seek essentially leave or permission to submit a judicial review. And so if we succeed, then the question of the judicial review comes up. It's still relevant because, you know, there, out of the 1,200, there were about 114 that we understand have been left behind. And so the judicial review will still, this still definitely concerns the individuals not deported. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you can finish if you first.
No, please go ahead.
So I was going to ask, though, there have been comments that the Immigration Department's actions could possibly constitute contempt of court. Are you planning to file a contempt case?
Right. So, you know, our priority right now really is on the lives of the people who were deported and those remain. We need to push and push hard for UNHCR access. We need answers as to what happened. It is the court sort of, you know, within the court's jurisdiction to decide on contempt or not. And that remains, you know, we haven't made a decision on it. But given, you know, as you can imagine, the urgency, when we talk about sort of the human rights violations in Myanmar and the people who are still left behind, including potentially children separated from parents, I think that's where our energies and our focus at the moment is.
Katrina, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for keeping this issue alive. Please, just my call to Malaysians, do not let this slip away. I know there's a lot of things grabbing our attention, but we have to keep pressure on the government, and I believe we deserve answers also as people of Malaysia.
That was Katrina Jorin Maliamau, Executive Director at Amnesty International Malaysia, talking to us about an issue that continues to be shocking, which is the fact that the Malaysian Immigration Department proceeded with the deportation of 1,086 Myanmar nationals yesterday, despite the fact that the High Court had issued an order for a temporary stay against the deportation. And so if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, any comments, do send them our way. That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We have one anonymous message asking, can any legal expert explain why this non-compliance to a court order isn't deemed contempt, regardless whether or not there was written proof of it being voluntary action? And actually, I think that this is something that has been raised by other quarters. It has been raised in the headlines, and it's certainly something we plan to follow up on.
Yeah, I think there have been many parties or legal experts who have talked about the fact that this could qualify. But as Katrina said, I think right now the more pressing concern is actually the welfare of the remaining Myanmar nationals.
Yes, I keep saying shocking, but I found myself genuinely quite shocked, simply because it feels as if here in the country, we often, or in general, right, we often tell ourselves that we need to pursue it through the correct avenues, that we can trust our institutions to be fair and to kind of follow the rules that society has set out, meaning that if we take it through a legal avenue, that we can expect that outcome will be followed. And so I think for something like this to happen makes me wonder, you know, is it an issue of bureaucracy? Is it an issue of, I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, I think it is. It's very disheartening news. And yes, for a lot of people, it might feel like it's removed from their day to day. But I think it does speak to a larger question of our trust in our institutions, as you said, even if this in particular is not an issue that you might have thought about, I think it's worth asking how these processes went wrong.
So keep those thoughts coming. We also have a message on the subject of the refugees from Wen Hao, who says, we are now in difficult times. Why should we accept refugees? There's no human rights when our human rights aren't even guaranteed. Priorities, guys.
Well, to be fair, I think these are not refugees that we are accepting. These are people who have, a lot of them have a right to be here, and they've been issued cards by the UNHCR.
Firstly, yes. And I think secondly, the important thing to think about human rights is that, like all rights, they're not just there for when they're convenient.
Yes.
And I think that to think of people having, I've always said this and I stand by it, giving people or, you know, accepting that other people have rights does not in any way impinge upon your own rights. I think that thinking about everything only in terms of resources is not necessarily going to be the healthiest way in which to live, and also ignores the fact that we might someday be the ones in need. So, you know, ultimately, the human rights need to be in place regardless of whether or not you feel in need at that point of time.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a conditional offer that I'll help you when I feel like it, yeah?
that's where I land. But in the meantime, keep those thoughts coming. We are also just about to head on to the 7:30 news and then beyond that to Popcorn Culture. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.